Still coming to you from the entirely empty employee break room of the quiet and quarantined Theater Brothers Theater on the garbage-strewn outskirts of a minor, locked-down American city. This is the Real Butter Buttercast. I'm Peter Theater.
I'm Theodore Theater.
I'm Austin Projections. I'm here.
And you're here?
And joining us today, a very special guest.
This is my line! That's when I say my name!
Yeah, you're a jerk!
Okay,
hey, Poppy! Poppy's here also, yes.
Step on my line, jerk.
All right, whatever. Also joining us, a very special guest, Riley from out of town.
Riley!
Hello.
What's
hello,
up, dude?
Hello, I feel so fancy and special.
You should.
You are fancy and special.
You're pretty.
And today,
you sound fancy.
We'll be talking about a fancy and special topic, the president. In this special Real Butter Buttercast President's Day special, we'll be talking about presidents as romantic interests, presidents
boss.
As action heroes.
Oh, who cares?
Presidents as vampire hunters?
Okay.
Poppy, you sound a little bitter. Is the whole president thing in the past, or are you still, you have some turmoil about, he's just giving me the finger, so I
damn,
think.
That is a tiny little aggressive finger. Adorable.
Yes, that's right, and we'll also be doing a very exclusive Real Butter President's Day movie quiz.
Oh!
Stay tuned, everybody.
I hate quizzes. Poppy, do you want
to
team up?
And you're going to lose.
Do I team up for the quiz, Poppy? Because I never do good.
I don't know. I just know that I'm looking at my small little watch here around my wrist.
It's a Rolex.
I have to go, so I'll be...
It's a nice watch, too.
I'll be right back.
He's just slinking away to a dark cabinet.
Aw, look at him.
He's just shutting the door.
Okay, maybe it's his potty time or something.
I feel like he's referencing a movie.
Actually, I've got to go for a minute. I'm going to go watch some trailers for no particular reason.
Yeah, okay.
I'll catch up with you guys in a minute, okay?
Okay. Hey, Riley, can you do me a favor?
It's Al B. I'll be right back.
Yeah.
Can you say play the music, but really dramatic?
Okay, I can say it right now.
Yeah, like right now.
Okay. Play the music.
Hark! And here we go.
Wax on.
Oh, what a day. What a lovely day.
Wax off.
I will look for you.
Do you really think you have a chance against us, Mr. Cowboy?
I will find you.
Are you incapable of restraining yourself, or do you take pride in being an insufferable know-it-all?
And I will kill you.
Gentlemen, you can't fight in here. This is the war room.
Go ahead. Make my day.
Somebody peed my pants.
You are a sad, strange little man.
He's had a change of heart.
A lot of good that'll do him. He's still got the same face.
All I know is that first, you've got to get mad.
Ah! A fellow chucker, eh?
What you just said is one of the most insanely idiotic things I have ever heard.
I'm very happy about that.
Surely you can't be serious.
What do you want? You want the moon?
You get nothing!
Nothing? Nothing? Nothing, tra-la-la?
I drink your milkshake!
I need the spot.
All right, Mr. DeMille, I'm ready for my close-up.
Wow.
Before we get started, does anyone want to get out?
All right, I'm in.
JFF.
JFK.
It's two
F's. But today we're talking about JFK. Oh, wait, no, we're not. We're talking about a movie.
We are.
Roughly based on his assassination and the repercussions and the conspiracies that stem from it.
Oh, man, were there conspiracies? There still are.
Now, this is the 1991 political thriller epic directed by Oliver Stone, with starring Kevin Costner as District Attorney Jim Garrison as he digs for the truth. Also featuring a young Gary Oldman as Lee Harvey Oswald.
A young Oldman?
A young old man.
A young old man. Sorry, what was the year for this movie?
1991.
That's what I thought. You know, it was an okay year for me. Wasn't best. Lots of shenanigans went on, especially with Theo. I want to talk about it.
I'd rather not.
It's classified. Just like this entire...
This came out when George H.W. Bush was president.
Oh, right. Hopefully this segment doesn't get redacted. You know, that would suck. Just a bunch of black lines over.
No, this segment's not coming out till 2038.
Wow. What's the weather like? We're talking to the future, right? Am I still alive? Don't answer that. I don't want to know. They can't hear really me right don't. Now, right?
No. Well, they will in the future.
So, but I'm not going to get an immediate response.
No, you won't hear them. You can't hear them. You never could hear our podcast audience.
It's ever. A one-way street, right?
It's always been a one-way street.
Well, that's lame.
You made the podcast.
Well, I thought people were just quiet. It's not my fault.
Not a live show. We're not doing the.
I thought they were just respectful or something.
No, dude.
Like they were just waiting.
We've been disrespectful to a podcast in a movie theater while we play movies this whole time.
Well, now I feel a little less targeted, and I don't feel like the audience is passive aggressive anymore with their quietness. Because I would wait sometimes for a joke, for someone to laugh or clap, and nothing happens.
You have a Twitter. We interact on Twitter. That's how we found Riley.
Yeah. Well, I don't hear anyone on Twitter.
Riley.
Yeah.
Right there.
Speaking of targeting, John Hannity was targeted and eventually assassinated on November 22nd, 1963. I remember that. I was just a wee lad at the time.
Oh, yeah.
But it really affected me and my entire generation.
I'm so sorry.
Peter doesn't remember because, of course, he's de-aged a few times and just memories are gone.
I don't think he ever cared.
No.
Oh my God.
No, it's not true.
Yes, I'm quite elderly. But this movie follows the trail of New Orleans District Attorney Jim Garrison as he tries to peel back the layers of conspiracies to find the truth. Many would argue that we still have not found the truth.
No.
About John F. Kennedy's
I think everyone would not argue but state that there's not enough.
Most people pretty much still say that Lee Harvey Oswald was accused of doing it. No one really says that he certainly did it anymore.
No.
In fact, most people are pretty sure that Woody Harrelson's dad was involved.
That's wild, man. No, I mean, yeah, once you get down to it, all the things that Oswald would have had to do within the time frame that he had is impossible.
Yeah.
It's impossible. So he can't be in, two places at once and shoot a gun three times with impeccable aim for the background that he had.
Are you suggesting the presence of a clone?
Yeah, I think Dave. Ooh. I think Dave assassinated JFK.
No, so we're Dave looking didn't at build it.
Single shooter. We're looking at a two Lee Harvey Oswald situation.
Potentially?
No, it was triangular. They say it in the movie. It was a triangular assassination. There were three points in which the shooters were taking him out. So all that car needed to do was turn that corner and he was dead.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's no going
All back. He had to do was turn that corner and JFK was gone.
Okay. So are you saying on record that it was the Soviets who cloned Lee Harvey Oswald, produced three Lee Harvey Oswalds, and had them carefully placed on that day in Dallas? For the record.
And those are my thoughts. Hopefully they won't get redacted, though.
God, shocking.
Shocking to hear.
You know what? I'll say it again. Just for the record. I'll say it again. I'll say it again. And that's why. You know what? I'll say it again.
No.
And just for those who weren't paying attention the third time, I'll say it. I will say it a fourth time. Nah, I'm just kidding.
Okay.
You've heard it enough. Yeah. It's probably old at this point.
Plus, it was Bozo the Clown that did it.
I don't know if the Mafia would cooperate with them, but this doesn't make sense. But
of course, the Mafia.
Moving cooperated. On. Filmically,
sounds like every
exciting movie, isn't it?
Keeps
things moving.
It's
long. It's 3 hours.
Dude,
it won for cinematography and editing. So yeah, it's visually.
Yeah, the visuals are really cool.
I think it earned those awards.
I did personally, not necessarily in a bad sense, but I felt like I watched a 6-hour movie. I feel like I watched it like a trilogy or something of movies. Just because
it seemed like a lot of material compressed into 3 hours.
Yeah, that's why it probably felt so drawn out, because there's just so much material, You have to pack that stuff in.
There was a thing that was happening around this time, especially after the Untouchables, and certainly with the rise after this, with a bunch of John Grisham novels and A Few Good Men and The Rainmaker and The Client and The Accused. People would fall in love with courtroom dramas. And the entire last hour of this movie is the whole point of the movie, which is, why did you put a homosexual man on trial? And it's because, I'm making the unbelievably confident case that, the government probably killed not only JFK, but Martin Luther King and JFK's brother, and are, assassinating people for just because they can't.
Poops and giggles.
Yeah, exactly. That's the, I mean, that last hour is what the movie is for. Do you need to get there? It's, I think nowadays, this, if this was like people loved Chernobyl. Like, that's just a like 3-6 hour type thing. It's a perfect story told, just a little bit longer than it needed to be. If this was 3 hours on HBO, Tommy Lee Jones would have gotten an Emmy. Kevin Costner would have got a couple noms. All these other, Kevin Bacon, all these people would be like all celebrating at the Emmys and we'd all be having a grand old time. But because it's a movie, yeah, it's a lot. But also watching it again this time, like, by the time it's halfway through, it's kind of like, yeah, when they just keep dropping like flies, yeah, it's like, yeah, dude, this sucks. You just keep murdering people. Stop.
Total side note, when you mentioned Kevin Bacon, I just remembered the main guy's wife. I forget his name.
Yeah.
Wood Garrison, played by Kevin Costner.
Yeah, yeah. His wife looks more like Kevin Bacon in that movie than Kevin Bacon looked like Kevin Bacon. No, and it's not in a bad sense.
Sissy Spacek?
I'm not being mean. I'm just saying she looks like Kevin Bacon. They look related, isn't it? No one else noticed that?
Suggesting that the CIA funded a secret cloning project and produced a female Kevin Bacon.
Get off the clones.
I'm just saying if they did, they would... That's probably it.
God, stop saying that. We can't lose our audience. Anyway, Riley, have you seen JFK?
Not physically, but like the movie.
I have not seen JFK specifically. I've seen Oliver Stone's other films. I have to be honest and say that I don't like any of them.
You're not an Oliver Stone fan?
He's an acquired taste, for sure.
Sometimes. He is an acquired taste, and you sort of have to... My theory with Stone is that you sort of have to go into his movies already believing what he's going to tell you, and if you have any, like, slight hint of doubt, then the movie is not going to be a particularly fun ride for you. And that is my thoughts on Oliver Stone. I have no personal beef against him. I'm just like, hey, dude, just like, I don't know what you're saying, but I'm gonna watch and then forget about it an hour later. That's my review.
I mean, I gotta say, I think that's a little unfair to movies like Platoon and Born on the 4th of July. I do think he has an acid tongue when it comes to movies like Wall Street and W. And I think a sort of straightaway earnest love for the situation, like in World Trade Center, but he can also eat the cash like Wall Street too. I think when it comes to these, certainly this era, because I think the next year would be Natural Born Killers, and that movie's a kaleidoscope, like eyesore in certain times, but it's also a kinetic energy that's like, I'm Scorsese, right, guys? I know he made Goodfellas, but I'm Scorsese, right? Like, I think that's a bit unfair when it comes to Platoon. Platoon was an experience he went through. I think that's an earnest depiction of how he felt. And I think that's the point.
If only it didn't have Charlie Sheen in it.
Well, I think Sheen is good at it. It's just Sheen would be a jerk later. I when it comes to this film, he's not lying. At no point is he ever saying that this is fact. He's saying this is what he believes is the truth. And he displays that by using old footage spliced with new footage that he shot so rapidly and so quickly that you start to blur the line. And it's purposeful. He's not hiding it. He's specifically saying, I want you to see this as truth rather than fact. And that's what storytelling is. And to be honest, I don't go in expecting to see the truth, but I am going in nowadays for Oliver Stone because I think he's a guy who loves the cut, like the montage, the actual splicing of one image to another. I think he's that kind of director. Or Scorsese's like, it's not really about the actors in the room, it's about the image. It does, like, that's why Scorsese agree. Doesn't care about like the cuts of that.
Yeah, that's fair.
And I also watched W, his film from 2008, and that is it's a very visually appealing movie, and it moves very quickly. It's much shorter, and it seems like a lighter movie, but I think, you know, his point with that one is quite different in that there's this likable buffoon and he's president.
I think it's
and maybe he shouldn't be, but, you know, visually, and like you're saying with the montage, like, it cuts very quickly between different periods of George W. Bush's life. It just moves ahead and back and forth without any kind of, like, every now and then there's a little, you know, subtitle with the year, but for most of his upbringing and him going from college age frat boy to unsuccessful and just about everything until he's governor and then he's president, it all just moves very quickly. And if you just kind of roll with it, it's kind of fun. But
the interesting thing about that is the difference between these two films that we're talking about, not just all of his films. JFK has an immense amount of characters, the focus being, yes, Jim, but it really is about the flashy performance of Tommy Lee Jones and Pesci and Kevin Bacon and all these people. There are caricatures in W, Dick Cheney by Richard Dreyfuss, who is more human than he was when he played that version of the character in American President. There's like the Condoleezza Rice, which is that's a caricature. But the movie is about a lot of handheld camera, a lot of close-ups on Josh Brolin and how he interacts with people, because that's the point. He couldn't figure out what he could do until they're like, oh, you're a charming guy. You should get in front of a microphone and tell people what they should vote for. Like, that was the moment where him and Carl Rove on the bench talking to each other about their plans. Like, and he's like asking the questions that a reporter would, like, it's just about, yeah, you want to have a beer with me? Yeah. That's the whole point. He's not a bad guy, but like, you know, he's just, I'm just trying to prove myself to my dad, and I'm going to use the entire U.S. military to do it. Oh no.
Yeah, it definitely focuses on that relationship with his father and how he's always trying to prove himself and how he's, you know, a disappointment to his father all the way, pretty much, and their relationship.
Yeah, it's a very
human
story.
I think that's what he zeroed in on. The interest is in the family dynamic.
Yeah.
He says it in the movie, like, I'm to a preacher. He's like, I got a silver spoon in my mouth. People don't know the problems that come with it. And it's like, yeah, I get that, dude. But like, you're the president. That's where Vice comes in with Christian Bale. That movie has a little bit more of a toxic tongue about it because Cheney was really gunning for the money and the oil, whereas Bush was like,
gunning for the money.
I got here because I'm good. And it's like, no, you didn't. You got here because of your dad. And he's like, well, I'm better than my dad. And it's like, no, you're not. Stop. Like, we just want to be a cool guy who paints paintings, man. What are you doing? And like, people started to manipulate that. The movie really uses close-ups to highlight how in every one of those scenes where he's talking and his entire staff is around him, they all have problems with what he's saying. They all know things aren't right here.
I mean, it works for the conspiracy, though, because when you're trying to explain a conspiracy, you get so lost. Like, if one person is just explaining this entire conspiracy to you, you're gonna zone out.
You need a 3-hour movie.
You need the 3-hour movie, but also you have the language of the camera to visualize these things that can be more difficult than explaining, you know, or less difficult than, you know, explaining it. So it helps. It helps, like, that fast camera work and the splicing of two things together, trying to come across to the viewer of, like, this is still the conspiracy, but that line is still being blurred. But you can still see it. You're visualizing it now, which helps.
Yeah, it's...
I think the conspiracy that I see in W is just white privilege, where somebody can basically fail and fail, but as long as their parents are rich and influential, they can end up in the most powerful position in the world.
Yeah.
I would say the conspiracy is legit Dick Cheney saying, let's use a war to steal the oil.
That's something that W shows a lot, is all the people behind the scenes manipulating W as long as they let him think that it was his idea.
Yeah, that's crazy. I also think when it comes to JFK, obsession about the conspiracy theory is important. I would say JFK reminds me a lot of Zodiac in that sense. Mm-hmm. They both run at an interesting pace. You're both driven by this obsession. We don't get a concrete answer, a factual answer at the end of the film, but the main character gets an answer that to them is satisfying enough for their journey. And then also, Oliver Stone shows up in Dave as a conspiracy theorist.
Oh my gosh.
What happened to the president? I think something happened to him. It's a conspiracy theory.
Oh my gosh.
I love that.
Meta. Good call.
Well, should we talk about Dave?
I don't know. That's next on the thing. Wait, has anybody seen Poppy?
No, I mean, I haven't seen him.
He hasn't been around for a while.
I can try and find him and see if he wants to talk, if he has anything
He's
to say.
He's usually around here telling us how much he didn't watch the movie and how stupid we are.
Well, I've been here the whole time.
Whoa, jeez.
Wow. I just decided to, let you guys speak. I didn't want to interrupt.
That's very nice of
you. Thanks.
Yeah, you're welcome. I mean, I can talk about it, but, you guys' opinions are really good, so I didn't want to interrupt.
Thank you. Huh. Wow.
Okay.
Is there, Alex, is there something on me? Is there, like, a red dot on me?
Sign? No, there's no kick me sign per usual.
A red dot?
No.
Hovering around my chest or head?
No swastika on your head? Like usual?
What? Huh? Like usual.
Huh?
No, if you want, I can talk about it, but I think you guys covered a lot of it, and I feel like if I hadn't watched it, I should probably watch it, because it seems like a good movie.
Okay.
You guys really sold it to me. Good job.
Wow, that's...
What the hell?
Adorable.
Thank you.
What?
Seems like Poppy's really shaping up.
What the f*** did you just say?
I said thank you.
You're just being polite, Alex. What?
Oh, he's got a plan.
Well, I can rate the movie. I can start with the rating.
I'm again a conspiracy.
Do it. Do it then.
I have two ratings for this movie. Out of conspiracy theories, I would rate this one 5 out of 5 conspiracy theories. I think overall it got the point across. It really sold me the conspiracy theory, you know, whether I believed it at, you know, at the start or not, you know, it's still, they have good points. All right. 5 out of 5 for conspiracy theory. For Butter though, I think I would give it a 4 out of 5. Just because I feel like my soul was drained at a certain point. Not every time I watch this movie does it feel like that, but for some reason this last time I feel like I had a, you know, I had a syringe in me that was just like, or just a little soul sucking mosquito rather, you know, just, it was really slow and gradual. But then after a while I noticed this bump and I got really itchy. I don't want to talk about it anymore. I
think it's up there with Oliver Stone's best. It's either his best or his second best. Everyone in it is great. Tommy Lee Jones paints himself entirely in gold. It was an actor's choice. I mean, just that's enough. I'll take 3 hours of a movie just for that. And in the background, Kevin Bacon's rubbing himself. I love this movie. And just, you know.
Dude, you only get that. You get that for like 30 seconds. And no, you're like, whoa, what was that?
The movie's crazy at times. Joe, just Pepsi's going crazy. Let's take off his beard. Oh, God, I love it. There's some crazy performances. There's some good craftsmanship here. Its editing is insane.
Oh, it's really good.
The cinematography is beautiful at times. And yes, the government lied to us. And that should anger us. And the fact that it doesn't is hilarious. And the fact that people are like, I don't want to watch 3 hours about how the government murdered our president and lied to us and then murdered three others. Just keeps murdering people for war. Yeah, it happens. And, you know, I don't want to watch 3 hours. That is disconcerting to me, especially when Tommy Lee Jones paints himself in gold. 4.5 out of 5 Butter.
Any boom. Conspiracy rating? Do you want to rate it with a conspiracy or is that just my thing? I get it. It's fine.
If I admitted it, it wouldn't be a conspiracy theory rating.
What?
Well.
Huh.
Mm. Huh. I'm gonna give it 3.5. I think it is, like, it's very sincere.
Oh yeah, Riley. So do you have a rating?
Oh, let me give a rating. I haven't seen it, so I would feel bad.
Okay, then forget it. Cut it.
Real Butter.
Welcome back.
Thank you
to the Real Butter Buttercast.
Thank you.
You're welcome, Peter. Today we're talking about present movies. And all right. Yes. Well, next up, we're talking about a little American political comedy romance film from 1993.
Man. That takes me back to just such a good time. Good year.
Grunge. Yep. 1993. So this was the year that Bill Clinton became president.
Never met him.
Our favorite.
Met him.
William Jefferson Clinton, the 42nd president of the United States. He served two terms, starting in 1993 all the way to 2001.
Man.
Was also not in Dave.
Not a good year.
Not in Dave. Just said
it was a good year.
You said 2001.
He was a fan of this film. He watched it in the White House Theater.
It's a charming movie.
There were a lot of real politicians and people in this movie.
Dude, like a for huge sections of the credits are just himself.
Himself.
Yeah, it was mostly him.
Including Oliver Stone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
A little bit of connective tissue there. Well, this film was directed by Ivan Reitman, who directed Ghostbusters, another intense political film.
Kindergarten and Cop as well.
Kindergarten Cop.
Well, I say that because Schwarzenegger makes a cameo in this as well. So does Sigourney
Weaver. It's not a tumor.
Mm-hmm.
You're not supposed to eat
that. So what's
that.
It all about, Peter? Tell me, because all I did was watch the trailer and I fell asleep.
So picture this, okay? America, okay? Mm. Really easy to picture, okay?
I live there.
Yeah, I live there too. You don't have to you don't have to picture like the state of the world like it as it is now.
It's just America. It's
are
just
we doing like swooping kind of helicopter shots?
No,
and vistas and
none of this has anything to do with Dave.
No, it's star transitions.
Star wipes?
Yeah, star wipes. Like
not one star wipe in this movie.
Well, let me imagine. Oh, I'm saying picture this.
50 star wipes.
And there's 50 of them.
Description of a movie.
And there's 50 of them.
Of a movie.
Not of the movie.
You're describing the movie. You're
okay.
The picture
so
of the movie.
Starts off with this president guy. Okay, he's waving. He's with his wife. They're having a good time. There's lots of they're in the public, so people are taking pictures, paparazzi, all this gooey stuff. And then they enter into the White House and they just immediately part ways. They don't say a single word to one another. Their faces drop. They just turn into zombies. Okay, that's how this starts off. So automatically you're like, wow, wow, these people are not as they seem, you know, they put on a face for politics, like in real life. And it starts revolving around this this president, and he's, you know, to say it politely,
douchebag,
scumbag. Like
President Bill Mitchell.
He's got douche and he's got scum in his bag. He's a douche scumbag, okay? And he's got many of those bags. And he's just a horrible human being. They really don't play lightly. Like he wants to defund homeless shelters for children. Mm-hmm. Like you have to have a certain, you know, trauma in your life in the past for you to just hate children.
Trump! I'm sorry.
It's okay. Are you all right?
Nothing.
Do you want me to pat you on the back?
So what happens to him?
Well, he has a stroke while he is in the process of cheating on his wife for the countless time. And he just goes vegetable like that. And he got some other people in the White House that are like, oh my God, what are we going to do? Because we don't want the vice president to be president because he's a goofball, you know? No one trusts him.
Well, no, the chief of staff played by F. Murray Abraham and his speechwriter are conniving. Yeah. Yes, Abraham. Are conniving because F. Murray Abraham wants the job.
Abraham.
So what he wants to do is make it seem like not only is the vice president incapable of doing his job, but that he is lining up a scandal for him so that he can take the job of presidency. So
right.
Murray Abraham, and this chief speechwriter do this behind everyone's back. So they're the only ones who are really doing this outside of the main bodyguard.
Yeah. So
by
Fing Rhames.
Fing Rhames. That's it. Yeah.
So it. Long story short, they feel like they have no other option than to get a body double temporarily. And the temporary body double turns into a full-time body double that they're puppeteering.
Well, they get the body double for him to have the affair, and then he has the stroke in the middle of it, and they just find that opportunity to continue to use him and puppet him. It's exactly like, that one's exactly, it was very close to the movie Hudsucker Proxy by the Coen brothers that came around this time with Paul Newman, I believe. And it's close to that. They think he can be manipulated. Sure. They think he can be manipulated a little bit, but it turns out he's awesome and a genuinely sweet guy. And yeah. Dave is the best. It's a Capra movie. It's a 1990s. In fact, not only is it so Capra-esque, they have a very charming score that was later pretty much stolen by Mr. Deeds, which is a straight up remake of a Capra movie. It's one of my favorite Capra-esque movies because he is incredibly nice. Everyone loves him. He comes in. He's a great president. He does great things.
It's a very adorable movie, and it's just a nice kind of palate cleanser from a very intense, you know, conspiracy movie. Because I watched it in that order because I was like, I'll watch Dave after the conspiracy thing just to like lighten everything.
Dude,
you
it's
know?
A palate cleanser after the last freaking year.
Yeah. You said it, man. Over it.
But also,
bottle down, bottle down.
F. Murray Abraham is great.
Abraham.
Yep. Sigourney Weaver is very good. But Sigourney. Kevin Kline.
Yes.
Is so
not
good.
Calvin
as
Kline.
As both the jerk president, but mostly Dave. No, oh, dude. Dave is so great.
He kills it.
He's so good.
There's like, they made him, honestly, my only gripe about it is they made him too good.
Oh, God, he's great.
He's just a good human being all around. You're like, God, you just. Yep. You're just good.
Yeah,
screw you, man.
I love it.
Screw you.
That's the point.
You know what's funny
our president sucks. Why can't we have him?
Use the first chunk of the trailer, the first 30 seconds, to say, starring Kevin Kline, star of A Fish Called Wanda. Like, they'd space that way out.
Yeah, he had just
from the movie.
He had just won the Oscar for it, and he's one of the few actors to ever win an Oscar at that time for a comedic performance. So he was, it was a big, very big deal for him at that time.
What's he up to now?
He's just chilling.
He's just chilling.
Yeah, he's acting still in the theater.
Is he alive?
Yeah, he's alive. He did a movie with Morgan Freeman.
He hasn't made a movie in a while. I think the last movie he was in was Beauty and the Beast in 2017, where he played Maurice.
Yeah, he played the dad.
Did he really?
Yeah, he played the dad.
Why?
Because it's Beauty and the Beast and it's
Maurice. Wait, the dad?
Yeah, the dad that the rose and everything. Yeah.
Oh, I don't. I just mixed a completely opposite Disney movie.
No, Belle had a dad. She went to stay there for the dad.
Right, and the dad's like, no, take me.
Mm-hmm. Kevin Kline's very big on the stage. He likes doing a lot of theater acting. He won
I can see it.
He's won three Tony Awards. He was on Broadway in 2017. Not much going on these days, though.
I can see it. No, I can see him doing that. Not like literally. I just looked him up and I'm watching him on stage. He looks pretty good.
He's more stage, but he'll come out every now and then. Like he did the last Vegas movie with Freeman and De Niro. He did. He has a little like moment in the early 2000s in Orange County. He just pops around every bit, and I just think he does more stage work nowadays because of it. I think
he's just doing what he wants. You know,
he's not a jerk. No one ever said he was a jerk to work with, but.
I didn't say that. Did you say that?
I think this might. This is one of his best.
Who said this?
Who said that? No, who said that about him?
I said no one said
it. Why would you say that?
I didn't. That no one said it?
Yeah.
Because no one said
it. Oh, no one said it?
Yeah, I said that.
Rumors are swirling about Kevin Klein.
Rumor has it. Ooh, that rumor has it. Rumor has it. Rumor has it.
So Dave is excellent.
Let's talk about another interesting character. The first lady, her story is insane. Her horrible husband dies. He has a stroke, okay? Then this other guy comes in, literally replaces him. Of course, he's her type. She literally married a man that looks identical to him.
It's a manic pixie dream movie only for either Hillary Rodham Clinton or Melania Trump.
Yeah, it's so she just is like, oh, it's my husband, but he's cool now, and he's nice. Like, yeah. It's hilarious.
It's great.
No duh, she's going to find feelings for him because she's attracted to him already, but also he's just got a genuinely great personality and cares about people.
Also, I just love Sigourney Weaver. She's great. Heartbreakers is great. Sigourney Weaver's great. 3.5?
Really?
You know, 4 out of 5 butter.
Okay,
you know, 4 out of 5
right,
butter.
Man. I was going to
say. Because his performance is genuinely great. It's just 90s charm at its best, but like, he does elevate it because he's great.
Elevator.
Yeah, well, I think this is where our roads converge, because that 90s charm thing just sickens me.
Wow, I'm sorry for your loss of a soul.
Similar reaction to just about everything from the early to mid 90s. They're just so schmaltzy, and they have a
Batman
particular
movies,
sound
right?
to them, and the like the musical scores are just
Batman
overpowering.
Batman,
the first Batman.
All of them are 90s movies. You like all of those?
Yeah, I know. Yeah. Try watching one of those Batmans again, minus nostalgia. Those action scenes are laughable.
Well, yeah, it's the 90s.
I just watched that first Batman movie for the first time, like 3 or 4 days ago. I was laughing so hard at it. I am so confused. As to why it's beloved, I did not grow up with it. I did not grow up with it. But it's just like it's Batman just like getting the shit kicked out of him for 2 hours.
Isn't it great?
His idea of a fight is just like raising his leg and or like one push or something, and then it's mostly just a German expressionist homage, and then letting Jack Nicholson do whatever he wants.
Jack Nicholson. I mean,
it doesn't feel real at all. It's very rubbery and
well, yeah. It's a superhero like a movie.
The guy dresses as a bat and goes. There's a guy with a clown.
No one took it seriously.
I'm sorry. The two things that inspired it, probably, I would say.
I did take it seriously when I first saw it. I thought it was the best thing since sliced bread. But as an adult, post Nolan, it's.
Post-Nolan world.
Let's face it.
I get it. Yeah, no, that makes sense.
The only reason that movie is the way it is because Pee-wee's Big Adventure and Beetlejuice. That movie exists. I can only say it 2 more times. I can say it 1 more time. Those two movies are exactly why that movie is the way it is. They're insane. You don't want them to be real. They're crazy and they're fun and they're bonkers, and you want that guy to make a movie about a man who dresses at a bat. It doesn't work now, but it worked like gangbusters then. We needed it then.
Yeah.
And that's all it is. Like, I mean, just appreciate it.
I'll take 90s Tim Burton over modern day Tim Burton any day. Like Edward Scissorhands over those Alice in Wonderland pieces or whatever.
Agree, but I do like Big Eyes. I think Big Eyes is all right.
And Small Eyes.
And Frankenweenie's.
And Mini Eyes. And Mini Eyes. Medium Eyes.
Talking about movies.
Oh, what? Sorry, you lost me.
And Big Fish. Big Fish is very good.
Oh, Big Fish is so good.
Big Fish is very good.
It was really cute. I think I'll rate it. I'm going to give it. It was so funny. I was laughing for quite a bit of that through Dave. It was pretty good.
When Charles Grodin shows up.
Oh, it's so funny. Oh my God. Yeah. There's just so many things. Honestly, if I'm
Charles Grodin, star of Beethoven, directed by our old pal,
Brian Levant.
Oh, I remember that guy.
Featured on this very show.
Poppy, do you remember him?
Yeah, he was a really cool guy and I was really respectful.
He didn't understand you and you have never let that go.
Well, I mean, you know, sometimes people don't understand you, but you can't let that get to to you. You know, you gotta move past it.
Only let that get to you.
You know, I'm just gonna ride this train until it crashes. So
can I, Peter? Can you come? Could you like?
Yeah,
Poppy,
yeah.
Okay, guys, that's not Poppy. That's
not Poppy. That. That's I think Poppy. Train travel is one of the safest methods of travel that we have.
Theo, not now. No, Theo.
I don't think it's a good idea to disparage it.
Theo, not now.
I'd rather ride a train than an airplane.
Theo, we're huddling right now. I don't think this isn't Poppy.
This is not Poppy.
But I said I'm gonna ride this train until it crashes.
You know that guy who talked to you?
I can hear you guys.
Hi, Poppy.
Hey, Poppy.
Could you? Okay, but Theo. You know that guy?
He said he can hear us.
You know that guy who talked to you in the library forever about conspiracy theories? Maybe he got information from you about Poppy, and then Poppy's been switched by some guy like Dave.
That's not true. I can hear you.
That's okay.
Hey, Poppy. What's going on? Is that
Poppy,
true?
Poppy, do you have a pen I can borrow?
Yeah, you want it?
Yeah, sure. Can I have it?
Real quick? Yeah, here, it's really small.
Yeah, hold on. Could you go over there for a second?
Okay.
Yeah. Poppy would never have done that. He would have stabbed me in the ankle with this pen.
It's a really small pen.
I know. Does it even got work? Right in my
I don't
ankle.
Know why you're questioning this. It's obviously an improvement. Maybe
of course. I'm not saying we're not fixing this. This is no. I like this.
Does it work here? Give
I'm
me,
just
give
saying
me.
We're all on the same page here.
You're missing the point. Does this thing work?
No.
Oh my god! It clicks. Look at the little clicker.
It has ink in it too.
Yeah. Look at it.
Guys, I never want to change this Poppy. We're all on the same page. It's anyway. Not him, right?
And break. Okay. So I would rate this movie. I really want to give it a 5 out of 5. I'm gonna give it a 4. I'm gonna hold myself back because anytime I watch a funny movie that makes me feel good, I'm like 5 out of 5. You know. And I don't think that's a bad thing, but I don't wanna cheat here. So I'm gonna give it a 4 out of 5. But as a conspiracy movie, I think it's really light and it's cute, and I think it loses the realness of a conspiracy. You know, like patsies and everything. It is cute. And there are some echoes from this movie to one of our current presidents.
Yeah, it's
from a year ago, from the last 4 years. So there's a lot of really funny things that are said in that movie in the early 90s that have legitimately happened in the last 4 years. I'm gonna give it I'm gonna give it a 4 out of 5 at conspiracy levels. So
yeah, it reminds me. I think. Oh, yeah, sorry, Poppy.
Poppy, yeah, you can come back.
I'm so sorry.
It's okay. I did hear everything you said. I just walked like 5 feet.
Could you forget it? Could you forget it for
sure.
us?
Sure.
Oh, my God. You are the nicest.
Thank you. You
That's
too.
So adorable. Hmm. I don't know if it's adorable.
I like it. I don't think you should question it.
Oh, I'm not questioning it. I'm just trying to find a different phrase because this is obviously not. I mean, how cute.
Mm. Well, to wrap things up, I would like to say that rail travel is far safer than driving by car or bus.
Cut it! Cut it!
And in the U.S. Department of Transportation Bureau of Statistics study from 2010, they found that there was only 601 deaths in the U.S. from rail travel, as opposed to 32,885 from highway travel. That
would
be cars, buses, etc. Air, of course, comes in as the lowest with only 450 deaths. But personally, I'd rather die quickly in a train than plummeting to my death in an airplane. Every time I get on an airplane, I assume I'm going to die.
Wow. That explains why you stole the truck to move to L.A.
I'd rather walk anywhere. That would be my preference. But then, yeah, I guess probably driving in a 1970s truck wasn't the safest thing. But
no,
we drove mostly at night. And, you know, Poppy was a good navigator for the most part.
Of course, I remember reading about that. I mean, I remember that very well.
Huh. Oh, good. Okay. Well, I think we'll just make things
line.
Up. We're going to have a little presidential movie quiz. Doesn't that sound exciting? And whoever wins this quiz will win a fabulous prize.
No, they won't.
No, they won't.
No, they won't.
Okay, well, we'll work on that part.
You will.
Okay, so everybody's in. We got Riley. We've got
Hello.
Peter. Yes.
Anyway,
Hello. And we've got Peter.
I don't like quizzes, man.
Excellent. And we've got Alex.
Happy to be here.
Would you, Peter, would you feel more comfortable pairing up?
Yeah, I'll pair up with the smartest person. Poppy.
Well, ooh, okay. This is awkward.
Ooh.
At this quiz, but I'll give it my best shot.
Thank you.
Yeah, we can avoid any confrontation.
It just feels odd. It just I'm gonna get used to it. Okay, but thank you. I know you genuinely mean
Alex, you're overexplaining.
Sorry,
it's okay. We get it.
It's different.
We get it.
It's a different.
We.
It's almost like
Alex,
it's a palate cleanser.
We get it. We get it. Yeah.
We'll get better.
So to start things off, you know what? I'm gonna call it "You Bet Your Butter." In
I'm
homage,
just white out
to
that
my,
idea.
My dad's You Quiz can't. Show from
no, the no, no. Call it something else. You can't just. No.
What? I'm carrying on the family tradition of quizzing.
No, that's theft.
I think it's nice.
All right, Riley. Just because it's you good. Like it, I'll
it's
like
passed.
It.
It's passed by a vote. Two votes for yes, and just Peter complaining as usual. So.
Well, I've got
all
four
right.
limbs.
Let's start at the beginning. What cool. was the first movie shown in the White House in the year 1915?
Man, I do not remember Birth that year
nation.
At all.
Yeah,
Birth of a Nation is correct.
Birth of a Nation.
Wilson.
Dang it.
President Woodrow Wilson
wrote
organized
history
a screening of E.W. Griffith's controversial Birth of a Nation, which
quoted
it kind of celebrates the Ku Klux Klan, so
it does not. It does not kind of. It does. They are the heroes of that movie. And yes, he was like, it wrote history with lightning. It's like not a great start. Not a great start. Technical achievement in film, but honestly, D.W. Griffith did better stuff in his shorts.
You know, firsts aren't everything. Okay.
Well, wait. Did he direct while wearing shorts?
No, I'm saying he directed shorts. They were a thing back then. Short films. They were called shorts. You know. You guys know. You're
really short.
Yeah.
But I bet wearing a comfortable pair of shorts while directing is probably...
I think you lost
the
point.
Nope, they wore pants with big puffy things on the side.
It can get very hot, you know, with all the movie cameras. They get... Anyway...
They're very small.
Let's move ahead in time to the 1950s. Let's go to the 1950s. Do you know what Dwight D. Eisenhower's favorite movie genre was?
I never met him. Dang it.
Irrelevant.
I would not. You
don't Poppy, do you know?
I got nothing, dude. I don't know.
Let's get your guesses, Peter.
I'm going to go. Okay.
No. Have Riley go first real quick.
Poppy, did you say dude?
you're just going to copy him.
No, I'm not. Riley from out of town.
No. Okay, Riley.
Okay, I'm going to go with my theory since he's a military guy. I'm going to go. With the westerns
for sure.
Okay well I'm afraid the answer is westerns.
Yeah.
Top.
Dwight D. Eisenhower was president from 1953 to 1961.
Watched
more than 200 westerns in the family theater of the White House.
That's it.
Over the course of his 2 terms. Did you catch all that, Peter?
I mean, I'm not impressed. That's it?
Right. 200 westerns.
Pocket change!
Oh, man. Okay. I love that. That's how many westerns they had in the 50s, man. Oh, at least.
Jeez.
But you know what kind of movie Eisenhower refused to watch? Not kind of movie.
Body swap.
Particular actor. Sorry?
I was going to say body swap genre, but...
Maybe...
Eisenhower refused to watch movies starring...
Okay, Poppy, what do you think?
Familiar with the previous existence up until when I started to exist, so maybe Keanu Reeves.
Poppy, not I don't think Keanu Reeves was around in the 50s.
He was not around in the 50s.
Well, that's my guess. I said I'll give it my best shot.
You know what? Good. I like that. It was a nice try.
Thank you.
Yeah, I like your gumption, but Keanu Reeves was born September 2nd, 1964 in Beirut, Lebanon.
Man, what a year. And a place.
And his name means wind over the mountains.
It's pretty cool, actually.
It's pretty cool.
Beautiful. Well,
thank you for reminding us about that, Poppy.
You're welcome, anytime.
Okay, all right. Well, so do you want me to give you a clue or are we done with this?
I'll take a clue.
Brando? Eisenhower refused to watch movies starring this particular male actor.
Well, that narrows it down.
Brando?
He did feature in some westerns and some crime films.
Clint Eastwood!
This actor was born in 1917 in Bridgeport, Connecticut.
Definitely was not.
And... He rose to fame in a couple of film noirs, including Out of the Past and Night of the Hunter.
Mitchum.
Robert Mitchum.
Robert Mitchum is correct. Yes, Eisenhower refused to watch any film starring Robert Mitchum because he was arrested for marijuana possession. Yeah. And
marijuana and Eisenhower of all people is going to make a stand against marijuana.
God, uses? Loosen up, people.
How dare you?
How dare I?
How dare I? I like Ike.
Well, let's move ahead in time to our friend John F. Kennedy.
Yikes.
Man, that guy did not make it.
Let's go to the assassination and rewind one day.
Back into the left.
Back into the left.
Thank you, guys. We're going back into the left the day before he was assassinated when John F. Kennedy screened a particular Bond film.
But like a bomb or like a Bond?
Bond. James Bond.
Oh, James Bond.
What, Dr. No was out? Was it Dr. No?
Golden Finger.
No.
Goldfinger's incorrect.
It's either From Russia with Love or Dr. No.
Golden Nose. What other body parts are there?
Final answer?
Golden Eyeball.
I'm afraid it was From Russia with Love.
Dr. No is a spinoff from Doctor Who.
From Russia with Love is the better movie.
Dr. No?
I agree. It's much more of a tight spy thriller than the subsequent
films. I thought...
Goldfinger's more fun.
I thought you were talking about the spinoff from Doctor Who, and now it's Dr. No, K-N-O-W.
No.
Yeah.
You're fired.
Doctor you fired. No.
Yeah.
No?
Yes. That's what I'm from Russia with Love, the 1963 spy film directed by Terrence Young, starring Sean Connery.
Sean Connery.
Was the final film that JFK saw. Not a bad way to go, I suppose.
No, he had a pretty terrible way to go.
I'm sure it wasn't on his mind when he lost his mind.
Man, what should my last movie be, guys? They were like, what?
Yeah, he wasn't thinking about that in those terms.
Jeez.
Unless he knew it was coming.
Absolutely not.
No, he did not.
Conspiracy theory.
No,
let's
no,
just
no,
pop
no,
it
up. No. He's got his head blown up in front of his wife.
Well, here's a good point. If there's an idea out there, you should vocalize it.
There you go. Keep an open mind, Alex. It's possible that JFK had his mind opened to all moments of his life and, you know, was fully aware that it was coming. Let's move ahead to Jimmy Peanut Farmer Carter.
He farmed peanuts?
Yes. Now, Jimmy Carter is on this list because he, more than anyone else,
was a president.
Jimmy Carter, the one-term president from the Democratic Party from 1977 to 1981, he watched a record amount of movies.
Yeah, he's got a lot of spare time being a puppet.
I love Carter.
I'm just kidding.
Let's get an approximate guess of how many movies Jimmy Carter watched in his single four-year term.
I got it.
Just within 100.
At least 100. I'm not wrong. I'm not wrong.
Peter says 100.
At least. No, at least.
That means up to 100.
No, that means 100 and then more.
Your answer is 100. He's saying
at least.
He's saying the answer is within 100,
Peter,
and your answer is
up to 100 and then up to 150.
Yeah, thank you.
Alex, what's your guess?
So confused. 69.
Riley, can I get a guess?
I'm trying to do the math in my head. So if he was president for 4 years, assuming it seems like a lot to have watched a movie like every. Trump. I'm gonna go with something around like 500 or 600. Trump. That's a little lot though. 600 is a little too much. Maybe around 500.
Poppy hasn't guessed. Poppy, do you have a guess?
Poppy.
I'm gonna go with 96.
Well, the answer is drum roll, please, Peter.
Wisconsin's going away.
All right, the answer is 480. Jimmy Carter screened 480 movies, which is basically every 3 nights.
Dude, I love Carter. I Carter's my man.
What were the? I mean, I want to see this list. Like, that's so much. He should have a film podcast.
They might actually be available as a matter.
He's too busy building houses for people.
I do know what his very first film that he screened was.
Also
it's quite appropriate. It's a political film about concerning the actions of a president to presidents prior. Any guesses on that one?
All the President's Men.
All the President's Men, correct. About
that
Watergate scandal.
So good. So good.
All right. Well, let's zoom ahead to our most recent president, Mr. Donald Trump.
All right, that's a wrap, folks.
Can anyone guess what his first presidential screening was?
I don't care.
He claims that Citizen Kane.
If anyone needs a clue, just let me know.
He claims Citizen Kane is his favorite film, but I don't think he screened that.
I don't think he has.
It's Rocky IV.
He screened a contemporary film.
I would have no idea.
I think I might have read this. What are the odds that it's Finding Dory?
It is Finding Dory.
Oh my god.
Whoa.
A movie that supports mentally challenged characters? Yes, absolutely. I think he'd love that.
Yes, in fact, it's a movie in which a separated family tries to get back together. He screened this on the same weekend that he initiated his Muslim travel ban.
Oh my god.
That was a crazy week.
God. Well, now I have a sour taste in my mouth. Do you think any of the presidents watched Beetlejuice? Oh, okay.
Yes, I think Clinton particularly liked Beetlejuice.
You said three times, dude.
Well, no, we said it two times now. The last time there's enough deviation.
Is that how it works?
Yeah, you need space between.
Space between a wicked life. But if you said Beetlejuice for the third time.
You just did!
Oh, no!
You son of a... I had a
Wow! Cut!
Buttercast.
Lincoln, the 16th President of the United States, born February 12th, 1809, assassinated April 15th, 1865.
Man, what's with the assassinations in this episode?
I mean, appropriately with our connection with presidents and movies, Lincoln was assassinated at a theater while watching a play.
I mean, just don't phrase it like that. You're going to jinx something, dude.
Well, Oswald was caught in a movie theater.
What?
Yeah.
Wait, Oswald was there?
Oswald was caught in a movie
theater. He didn't kill Lincoln, but they were a few years apart.
Okay, wait. Whoa. So, okay, there might be another Oswald.
Okay, I'm legit running around, or? This is legit serious. Hey, I don't think your clones are a conspiracy, although if you do look it up, there are massive interesting coincidences between the Lincoln and JFK assassinations.
Oh, the Lincoln-Kennedy coincidence. Yes. Urban legends.
But there are no clones. I didn't say that.
Oh, can I rattle some off? I have a list.
Although there is, Poppy is...
Poppy's what? What?
Love you. I love you, Poppy.
Me too.
Really great.
Why are you acting so weird?
Nothing. I'm just trying to acclimate to this.
Okay.
I'm a fan of it, though. I don't want it to change.
Yeah, what?
Alex, stop over-explaining. Just, Theo, what are the clones? Can't believe I would have asked
that. Right, so Lincoln and Kennedy both have 7 letters in their name. Both assassins, right. John Wilkes Booth and Lee Harvey Oswald, they were born in 39, one in 1839 and one in 1939. They're both known by their 3 names, including their middle name, which is composed of 15 letters.
That's not how that works.
John Wilkes Booth ran from Ford's Theater and was caught in a warehouse. Oswald ran from the Daily Plaza warehouse and was caught in a theater.
Okay, I mean...
Yeah. Both successors to these presidents were Southern Democrats and surnamed Johnson.
What are the odds?
Both of whom were born in 08, one in 1808 and one in 1908, and their first names contain 6 letters.
I don't care.
Both presidents were shot in the head on a Friday and died at nearby locations. Lincoln at Peterson House across the street and Kennedy at Parkland Memorial Hospital down the road.
Kennedy died right away.
Lincoln was shot at Ford's Theater and Kennedy was shot in a Ford motor car, a Lincoln limousine.
Spooky.
It's almost like you could piece anything.
Lincoln had a secretary named Kennedy who told him not to go to Ford's Theater. Kennedy had a secretary named Lincoln, Evelyn Lincoln, whose husband Harold's nickname was Abe, and she warned him not to go to Dallas. Both of the assassins, Oswald and Booth, were assassinated before they could be put on trial.
I mean, that all happened.
I mean, Booth never hid his crap. He was an absolute... he was just against Lincoln and was totally for shooting him. He shot Lincoln. There's no real conspiracy there. People wanted that man dead. But Kennedy...
There was actually a conspiracy that got him to that location at that time.
And it was.
He was part of a group of Southerners who had developed a plot to kidnap Lincoln, as well as Vice President Andrew Johnson and Secretary of State William S. Seward to aid the Confederate cause.
It looks like Booth just kind of like cut the back half of that plan and shot him in the head.
I'm just going to kill him. He did a poor job.
That story is nuts. I mean, Seward actually got like stabbed in the eye or something.
Nice.
Like a guy with a knife like ran into his home on the same night and like ran up the stairs and like tried to stab him in his bed.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
The guy who was supposed to kill Andrew Johnson got drunk and never showed up to the hotel, which I think I just read. Okay, let me just throw this. I just read this crazy Grant biography also, and apparently Grant was a part of the assassination plot too. Like they were going to go kill him, and he was like leaving. He left early Washington like a few days before he was supposed to, and he was leaving by carriage. And suddenly, as he was leaving, this man on the street corner was staring at him, and he was like, "Whoa, that's really creepy." And the carriage just kept going on, and this man on the street corner got onto his horse and started circling the carriage and the street, and he ran like right up to the edge of the carriage and pulled down his hood. He had this like mysterious hood on, and it was like John Wilkes Booth looking into the thing or into the carriage, and then he drove away because Booth was apparently planning to kill Grant as well, and Grant leaving early put a hole in his plan, so he was like chasing the carriage down. And it was like this crazy thing. Apparently the family like never stopped talking about it afterwards. It was so freaky. Anyway, I just wanted everyone to know this.
We are here
to
talk about
the rabbit hole here, guys.
We're here to talk about two specific movies in particular that came out the same year about Lincoln.
Lincoln?
Spielberg's Lincoln.
Lincoln?
Hardly knew her.
Him.
Spielberg's Lincoln.
Him.
Her. And
where are you getting the her?
Abraham Lincoln, Vampire
so
Hunter.
We're talking about, okay, we're going back to the year 2012.
Man.
And Mr. Steven Spielberg.
He gave me the chance, but it was a good year.
With Daniel Day-Lewis as the United States President, Abraham Lincoln. Has anyone seen this one?
Yes.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, dude.
I'm pretty sure Tommy Lee Jones was nominated for an Oscar in that one as well.
Was nominated for an Oscar?
Was,
nominated for an Oscar
that's
that
how that works?
Movie as well.
Isn't, huh. The Lincoln is a totally different vibe than Lincoln Vampire Hunter.
I think both are good Lincolns. Both actors portray Lincoln very well.
And they got a good, you know, the axe thing with the vampires, yeah. You know.
I'm just talking in terms of like, Ben Walker as Vampire Hunter, I think I care less about him hunting vampires than I did as him as Abe. I thought it was a really good Abe. That was a really good Abe. And yeah, he swung the axe a lot.
Riley, which do you think was a stronger portrayal of Lincoln?
Ooh, that's a great question. I think actually, so in Abraham Lincoln Vampire Hunter, I think that one channels a lot more of Lincoln's frontier days. Mm-hmm. And I think that's something we don't see. John Ford did a few Lincoln movies.
Young Mr. Lincoln, yeah.
Those are kind of like up in the air for me, but I like that they made sort of like the fun of like this pioneer Lincoln. That's not something you normally see. Obviously, it's like hard to say that Daniel Day-Lewis did not give like the like most insane performance in a good way.
Yeah, he is
like so killer. That movie, yeah, he did so good. That movie makes me like bawl every time I see it. But I'm also really sensitive to anything sentimental on screen, so there's that. But yeah,
I love Dave.
It's a great, great, great performance.
I wonder if he did any kind of research, like I don't know, running for president or chopping down trees or something.
Daniel Day-Lewis, he's known for getting a little bit intense on his
method going.
Little method.
I think he probably built some log cabins.
He certainly wrote letters to his cast members in the paper and the quill and the style, and like he legit was Lincoln on.
Yeah. He is a carpenter, isn't he?
Yeah.
So he could have actually potentially built a cabin.
He probably has before, yeah.
He's a weird dude.
He's awesome, but he's weird.
He's sexy.
He's one of those actors who's just... Yeah, like when he's not playing a part, he's nothing. He's an empty shell.
I don't know about that. He seems like a genuinely nice Irishman who just...
No, you look in his eyes. He's got dead eyes.
Oh my God, dude.
Wow, that's harsh.
A cow's eyes.
Well, I see him as a human being with a soul. That's that on that.
Yeah, you know, don't judge a person by his trailer.
He's merely a vessel.
Even if he was, he's a very talented vessel.
Yeah, you can't play Abraham Lincoln and just be a vessel, man. You gotta have empathy for a person like
maybe
that.
Maybe.
No, they literally, once he's finished the film, he collapses into a chair and they have to just sort of drag him, and then they put a script in front of him and he starts to rebuild his life.
Except for the fact that he actually doesn't do that. He likes to take years off.
I have inside sources.
You were saying he was in your Buttercast movie?
I've tried to get the script in front of him during one of his down periods when he's an empty shell, just in the hope that he would fill up with Theodore. But
I thought he was in it because it was already made.
Interesting enough, Oliver Stone had quite a bit to say about Steven Spielberg making this film and about the way it sort of celebrates and makes American history into this kind of heroic epic. Obviously, Stone thinks the opposite direction, that our government is out to get us a lot of the time, and that we need to not be covering things up and shining them up. But
I think he's a man who believes that those in power, anyone with any form of power, does not really care about those without it.
I think though, with like, I don't know, this is sort of the issue I think I have with not Stone as a filmmaker, but Stone sort of as a person, a personality, which is more like he doesn't view the world as being a particularly complex place. He kind of seems to show it as like a good versus evil battle. And I think that's an interesting take in his films. Like, I like seeing how he expresses that. But sometimes when he critiques a film like Lincoln, which, as you say, is supposed to be a certain way, and you kind of know what it's going to be going in.
Yeah, I mean, but that's the thing. Like, I can see Stone being like, why do we, continue to hold this guy up on a pedestal? Why don't we at some way look at the realistic approach? And the film does kind of do that. You know, Mary Todd's got her problems. His son doesn't like him. Lincoln is a very complicated person in the Lincoln movie. And certainly in Lincoln Vampire Hunter, he makes mistakes in that too.
But everybody has those days.
The thing about that movie, it's based off a book that was written as a movie by the guy who wrote the book. Apparently in Vampire Hunter, the book, it is pretty much from the day he's born to the day he dies. And there isn't a lot of vampires in there. It's just every now and then he spices a little bit of vampire in there. He's genuinely doing a historical novel on Lincoln, just with the little fun things in there. That's why the movie feels as episodic as it is, but also kind of earnest in its portrayal of what he believed in.
Yeah, I mean, I think actually the Lincoln movie portrays this very well, because I think, gosh, I was listening to this podcast the other day that actually brought this up, which was talking
about...
Real
Buttercast?
Oh, yeah, of course.
And there also are other Buttercasts.
And it was... Talking about how Lincoln, his conversations with Frederick Douglass specifically, and how the main concern had to be about the keeping of the Union together, because, you know, I think the big worry was that if Lincoln went all out and said, oh, we're going to free all the slaves, and Maryland said that, and they seceded, you suddenly had a situation where the capital is surrounded by two in rebellious states, and it gets really complex. And I think that the movie actually portrays sort of this like fine line that Lincoln has to walk really well. I think compared to like some of the John Ford portrayals of Lincoln and the early cinematic portrayals of Lincoln, like if anything compared to that, Spielberg shows Lincoln in a bad light. Like that scene in Young, I think it's like Young Mr. Lincoln, the Ford film, where it's like, I don't know, Lincoln's like sitting in a field of daisies or something, and he's just like, oh, there's only two things. There's right and there's wrong, and that's all that there is. And I'm like, ooh, this dude would make a really shit president. Yeah. But lo and behold.
And then Abraham Lincoln Vampire Hunter. Any thoughts there?
Abraham Lincoln Vampire Hunter. I haven't seen the movie in a few years, but I remember being really surprised in the sense that, well, for one thing, I actually like the movie. And the second thing was that in my head, I was thinking about how interesting it is that the the Confederates were portrayed as like literal zombie army. And at first you're like, yeah, that's kind of like fun and interesting. And then you start thinking about like the symbolism behind it. And you're like, whoa, that's deep.
The main problem that there's two problems I have with the film. And I'm only saying these right now because I genuinely liked the film. And it's taken forever for me to watch it. And I'm glad I did. It was great. People should watch it. I think it takes itself too seriously to both the detriment of itself and rewarding for itself. Like, I get the point of him spinning the axe, and the training montage is meant to be there, and it's fun and everything, but it's not as tongue-in-cheek as it should be, because there's a certain point where, like, the vampires kill his child, and Mary Elizabeth Winstead is killing it in this scene of just, like, you killed our son, and she's so... And it's like, this is too serious. This is too much. Like, you're going a little too far. And it feels a little strange, only like, because it's
like
episodic. That are
almost like a gothic horror movie with genuine tears and sadness, and it doesn't quite fit with, as you said, like the montages and the slow-mo.
Because there aren't like jokes, but there is a pace about this that is really fun and lively. Like when he wakes up for the first time and the guy who helps him at his house, he wakes up.
Dominic Cooper.
Thank you, Dominic Cooper.
The guy.
Preacher.
The guy.
So Dominic Cooper helps him when he wakes up in his house, and he walks through the house, and it's a big old walk and talk as he just explains to him everything that's going on, and he's like, you're just a kid who wants revenge and stuff like that. Like, there's a pace about that with levity to it that isn't necessarily jokey that I appreciate, but it's also like... taking itself super seriously. But then the movie starts, I'll give the movie two things. A, the character of Speed. Everything is laid out for you to think Speed is going to do something and instead does something else, and I loved that. Very well thought out and very well plotted, and I enjoyed it. The one thing that really annoyed me more than anything in the world.
Whoa.
When it came to this movie.
Oh, okay.
Okay. He trains him. Dominic Cooper trains him. He says, the main weakness, the kryptonite of these guys, not sunlight. It's not a stake to the heart necessarily. It's silver. Tip your axe in silver and be a good axe swinger and stuff like that. Silver is bad for vampires. And then they get 4 years into the Civil War with vampires. And they get to the point where Lincoln's sitting at a table. He's like, I don't know what to do. They're fighting with dead people now. I don't get it. It's as useless as this silver. I was so mad.
He just
4 years. Like, now you've decided? Now? And it's like a train full of silver. You have their silver mines. Buy a mine. What the hell is going? Like, it took you now. It's their kryptonite, and it's everywhere on Earth. Oh, it really annoyed me. Outside of that, I enjoyed this movie a lot.
Yeah, I remember being super perplexed because in the climax scene when they're fighting, I guess it's, I don't know, Gettysburg or whatever. It's not clear whether or not like the Union Army knows that they are vampires or not.
I know.
And it's like, do they process what's going on? Like, if I was a soldier,
we have letters from the president was
like, okay, we're gonna replace all of our cannon shot with just like silver, I would be like, oh my god,
we have found silver cannonballs.
How? You can't.
That was the moment where I was like, come on, like, come on.
I didn't really enjoy the movie after he became president.
I really did
enjoy the part where he was younger. Like, it was almost like this is the secret origin of Abraham Lincoln. I would have been happy with it ending with him running for president. and that was that.
I like the train scene. I like the turn with speed. And my other problem with the film, and it's not about the CGI. This filmmaker is meant to make crazy CGI stuff. This isn't his first vampire movie. He's Russian and he's all about visuals. That's why I came here. Let me see you play with CGI. But I do have a problem with Abe Lincoln's truth power. He gets hit with a horse. What? Yes. And I'm like, no movie. Come on. Like, come on. Make a rule. Make one solid rule.
I haven't seen this movie in a while and I don't remember truth powers.
Dude, he's like, yeah, what? He's like, chop down this tree. It's like, it's not your anger that does it. It's the truth about you understanding your anger. And then he goes, wah, and the tree explodes.
He's got superpowers.
Of truth. Not that he's a hunter.
Wonder Woman?
Well, he's not Buffy in terms of he was born a hunter. He isn't part of some league or some union where you can't fall in love. It's just a vampire who trained him. And he's just like, you've got truth in you, dude. Chop this tree down.
Maybe it's
get hit by a horse.
You know what it is?
Alex, that's a power we could all unlock within ourselves.
No, because there's honest people. No, think about it.
That movie implies that anyone who's that honest, nuns, priests who are genuinely telling the truth all the time could pick up a house.
No, but think about it. Placebo effect. Where does it come from, though?
I think there's something to it.
I
do think, plus points, Benjamin Walker is great as Abraham Lincoln.
Everyone is great.
He's almost, you know, Dominic Cooper's great. Anthony Mackie, Mary Elizabeth Winstead, and Rufus Sewell. Nice to see him again.
I do love Rufus Sewell. I think it's cast great. I think it looks great. I think the action's fun. The vampires themselves as monsters are really scary.
As you know, I'm not a huge fan of CGI, so my main problem with this is, why do the vampires have to go from kind of cool-looking gothic vampires and then suddenly have these huge CGI mouths and look totally fake? It's the CGI that weakens it for me. The action scenes could have been played with a more grounded sense. I mean, instead of just all being in slow motion and all having, you know, like him running across the backs of horses.
I mean,
for
that's
a very long time. That kind of stuff just, it takes me out of it because it doesn't have any kind of.
Yeah, I understand that's not for you. I do get that that is not for you. That is, however, what that filmmaker is wanted. Like, he made a career in Russia basically just. And the thing is, if you watch his early stuff, Night Watch has a lot of interesting practical effects. Great camera work, great lighting. There's this transition of a character goes from an owl to a human being. In Harry Potter, when someone turns from a cat to a person, it's a quick little whoop. In that movie, feathers go all around the room, the camera shaking, there's a person with goo on, like there's this great moment where they wipe it off and there's feathers, and like he is all about getting as much out of the image as possible. But he was doing it in Russia with no money. Then he went on to make Ben-Hur, and no one cares about Ben-Hur.
Is that really the same filmmaker?
Yeah, he made the 2016 Ben-Hur.
Whoa.
Like,
I remember when that came out.
I forget that they did that.
Dude, I had to make the standee for the big cutout standee for Ben-Hur.
Remember that.
Dude, what the heck? And then we had to like tuck it into some corner because it was so large. It was so large.
It felt awful.
We couldn't put the standee anywhere. So we just shoved it in a corner and no one cared. It's like, why did I had cardboard cuts all over my body, man.
There's some people that
Is that one of the ones that you have to kind of bolt together?
Yeah, you have these wing nuts and you got these screws and you have to bolt the thing together because it's that large. Why? Why for Ben-Hur? Why couldn't we do it for any other movie that came out in 2016?
Because they
threw
all...
Like, chariots or...
The gimmick was that you could be in the chariot.
So, oh, nice.
So, like, he's like steering or something. He's in the frame and he's like screaming and he's kind of blurred. And then there's like horses in the background and there's horses in the foreground. And then in that foreground, there's a space in between the foreground and the background.
Space between!
And that's where you would stand and then you would take photo ops. But no one on this planet Earth did that for that standee. For its purpose, no one cared. No one did it. I wasted my time and I still have cuts to prove it.
Well, thank you guys. Did a good job explaining both movies. I really want to watch them both now. Thank you.
You never want to watch the movies we talk about again. Or ever in the first place.
I do now. I can't
Yes,
change.
Now. Yes, that's right. You can change. You can change.
What's that one?
This is great. Yeah, well, it's also positive today. I love it.
Well, what would you guys rate it? Both movies. What would you rate them?
I would say Lincoln's a 4.5 out of 5 butter for me. And Vampire Hunter is like a 3.5 out of 5 butter. And I don't think that's a bad score. I don't.
All right.
Riley?
For Lincoln Spielberg, I would give it also a 4.5. It's a great movie. I think the last like 2 minutes of it are bad. That's just another topic for another day.
That's fair.
And then for Vampire Hunter, I would say I'd give it a 3 out of 5. And she's like, you know, fine. Yeah, she's fine. It's fine.
It's fine. It's fine. I've only seen The Vampire Hunter. I'm going to give it 3. I enjoyed it when I saw it. I smiled. It was good times. Just a little too much CGI, a little too much slow-mo. I think that story told more with more realistic impact would have been fun. And I didn't really like the older Lincoln stuff. I didn't think Ben Walker just looked like he was done up like he was old. And that's,
that makes sense.
Done up like he's old.
Great actor. Great actor. Pity about
Pity about it.
About what?
I don't know. No. I like it. I like it that it ends.
You know.
Something happened.
Pity about it.
I think we all know what I'm talking
about. Conspiracy theory.
Okay. For Lincoln, Mr. Daniel Day-Lewis, I would give it a 4 out of 5. I think it's really cool, really interesting movie. He killed it. I mean, he kills every role. He's insane. Yeah. Guy's crazy. Probably not actually, but you know, crazy enough to immerse himself into.
I think is the word.
That you are the only person on this planet that thinks that. Just letting you know. Then it's Vampire Hunter. I haven't seen it in so long, so I'm not gonna rate it because I haven't seen it in a very long time. But on a conspiracy level, I think I'm gonna give it a 5 out of 5. You know,
yeah, it's a vampire.
It's a vampire hunter.
Yeah, he got away with it.
There were really vampires, and the government knew about it, and they're not telling us.
Government knows anything. What? I had to hide it, man.
Conspiracy.
Yeah, it's a conspiracy.
Prove it.
I can't because it won't be a conspiracy. But I can prove it. It'll be fact.
Mel Gibson.
Yeah, man.
Conspiracy theory. Julia Roberts. I love that movie.
You want to know what I thought about it?
For another.
Oh, Beetlejuice is still here.
No.
Yeah, if you want to say your rating or...
Well, I mean, you guys rang me up, so I'm just here, you know what I'm saying? I'm just kind of waiting. What's your wish?
Ding, 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 ding,
ding, ding, ding, ding, ding, ding, ding, ding,
ding, ding, ding, ding, ding, ding, ding, ding, ding, ding, ding, ding, ding, ding.
Welcome back to the Real Butter Butter Cast. Now we're going to be talking about Thank presidents you. As action movie stars, fictional and otherwise.
I was going to say,
Mostly fictional.
The presidents are not action stars. It's not fictional characters that are presidents that are starring in movies that are also action films.
One of the big standouts, again, from the 90s, we got Air Force One from 1997. Peter.
You know, if I had to go back and have a defining moment of that year,
yes.
It would probably be my mother. So it was a good year.
Your defining moment of the year was a human being?
Yeah. What I did with her, you know? What?
It was nice of her to visit.
What?
Ice cream, going on going on
spending
rides.
Time with
her. Doing stuff with her.
Mine was the death of Princess Diana.
It's messed up, man.
It's 1997, big moment.
That was your favorite moment of 1997?
No, that's messed up, dude. What's wrong with you?
This is the most impactful moment
far.
Of the year. If
too
I would
far.
Put it in a moment, that's
too
what
far.
I put it in. I put it there.
Man, you're messed up, dude. Anyway, guys, what's up? What are we talking about?
Air Force One, starring Harrison Ford. Big action star Harrison Ford. He was on a roll in the 90s, the late 90s.
God.
And this is very much a late
Karen's
90s action
dog is
movie.
Back. Oh, God.
Yeah, there's a dog here. Hang on.
Karen's not far behind when that dog is barking.
Well, she's always lurking.
I'll keep her away from me.
I don't mind the dog. The dog's... I do mind the dog.
I don't mind Karen.
What?
Karyane? I don't mind her. She loves you, though.
I know she does, and it makes me uncomfortable that no one helps me out when she's in the room with
me. Well, I feel like this is an appropriate amount of time for that dog to have left anyway, so let's go on.
Yeah, what's up?
Okay, well, Harrison Ford stars in Air Force One opposite Gary Oldman. So Harrison Ford plays the president of the United States. His name is James Marshall. And at the beginning of the film, he makes a speech he's in Russia, and he's worked together with Russian forces to capture this evil commie who's trying to bring back the communist Russian state. And they capture him in a daring midnight raid and get him in jail. So everything's great. So this is post-Cold War Russia. They're on our side now. James Marshall, president, makes a speech in Russia about how we're not going to stand for terrorist states anymore. We're going to go in and kick their butts. We're not going to wait around. So, you know, he's a manly man, but he's got his heart in the right place. He gets on Air Force One along with his wife and daughter, and pretty soon Gary Oldman slips in there undercover, pretending to be a reporter with his little crew of evil commie Russians, and they take over the airplane, Air Force One, and we get these tense scenes of the terrorists kind of taking over. The Secret Service tried to get the president down to his escape pod. The pod takes off, but of course, president ain't going because he is going to take these guys out. And meanwhile, we cut back and forth to the war room in the White House, where the vice president, played by Glenn Close, is watching all this, you know, going on and trying to take the phone calls and try to figure things out. They want the evil military leader released from prison. The Russians refuse to cooperate. Gary Oldman's going to kill someone every half hour until they give in. At first, Harrison Ford is kind of running around in the underbelly of the plane, fighting the Russians. They think it's an extra Secret Service guy. But no, it's the president. And we've got a lot of little guest stars in there, like William H. Macy, who was hot off Fargo. He's one of the president's little group there, and he helps him out. He's very wholesome. And there's a turncoat Secret Service agent. It's very much a late 90s action movie. It's directed by Wolfgang Petersen, the German director of Das Boot, and The Neverending Story.
Oh, man, it never ends. It's so good. Love that movie.
Yeah, yeah, I think it's still playing in Theater 7.
Is it really? It would make sense. Yeah, yeah, it's never ending.
We haven't stopped it since 1985.
What a year. What a year.
The whole movie leads up to Harrison Ford having a fist fight with Gary Oldman and then saying the line that I waited the whole movie for, "Get off my plane."
Oof. Does his son kill him?
His son.
Yeah, his
he
son.
He has a daughter. He has a daughter. And here's what's really funny is Harrison Ford and Gary Oldman both spend quite a bit of time like hugging the daughter, kissing her on the forehead, reassuring her. I think she's supposed to symbolize innocence or some kind of rich, you know, something. But it's kind some of rich uncomfortable, something. To be honest.
Well, he didn't get a Gary lightsaber
Oldman,
or anything.
Gary Oldman wastes a whole scene trying to convince her that he's a nice guy. He's just killing these people because, you know, he has to.
It's basically Die Hard on a plane.
Yeah,
it's almost beat for beat. Like, I mean, there are a lot of on a plane, Die Hard on a movies out there. Under Siege is on a train. Speed is on a bus,
and then on a boat.
On a boat for the second Speed, and then the interesting thing about Wolfgang Petersen is that Dust Boot was basically all pretty much shot within the submarine that the characters are on, and it's very claustrophobic. He was the appropriate guy for this film. We never leave the plane. You get a lot out of the scenes and the scenery that is there, but also, yeah, it's beat for beat Die Hard, just with the present.
Yeah, so, I noticed too, like the way that they keep coming back to this segment that's in like the basement of the plane with the refrigerator, and they've got the juices and whatever. Like he kind of checks in there, just the way John McClane checks into that one room with like the elevator room with the posters. It's sort of like, you know, establishing the areas, dealing with the henchmen one by one, talking with the main villain via the phone, walkie-talkie.
Yeah, I feel like this, I would have rather seen Jan de Bont direct this rather than Petersen. I think he should have made this rather than the second Speed. I think it probably would have helped his career a lot more. It would have been a bit of a rip-off, but also I think he would have been able to avoid the pitfalls of doing the exact same bits. Outside of that, everyone is very good in it. Harrison Ford is great. And it's just solid. Yeah, it's not, for me, it's as nostalgic as hell because I love anything from 1997. That's a very nostalgic year for me. It's a good year for me. Anything from that era, I sort of like warmly. What?
I definitely, it now, I could see how this is kind of the end of that late 90s action era that would be, I see like there's a big breaking point when The Matrix came out in 1999 and the Bourne movies started coming out. That kind of complete, like, you know, if you compare James Bond movies pre-Bourne versus post-Bourne, they're just completely different movies.
It's just interesting, too, because I always think about Air Force One and other movies and sort of how the 90s to me is sort of this time where, like, Hollywood sort of begins to, I don't know if this is the right word, but merge with a little more of a political ideology.
Yeah.
And there's sort of this interesting time in which, like, the Bill Clinton presidency, it's like, oh, the president's a badass. Yeah, he's a fighter, et cetera, et cetera. Then, of course, 9/11 and George W. Bush happened, and then we get a bunch of, like, pessimistic action movies. And then Obama comes in. Olympus has fallen and White House down, where the president is quite literally, like in Air Force One, kicking ass. And I think that's super interesting. I think it's like a really interesting way to channel like what the culture was thinking at the time and how we like thought about our president and our leaders sort of through these like action movies. I think they're ridiculous, but I think they're so telling about what was going on.
Yeah, the president that we want to have, right?
Yeah.
If you love Batman, I want Dave. I'd be Dave.
Yeah, give me Dave, who like cares about it.
movie like 1998, yeah. we have Morgan Freeman in Deep Impact.
Over.
I love him.
Who is the president in Armageddon? I can't remember. He's only for a little bit, but like that guy's like, let's nuke him. I don't care. Let's nuke this thing. Whereas like the whole point of Morgan Freeman in Deep Impact is it's going to come and many are going to die. So I'm with you. Like, because that's what a real president does. You can't stop that stuff by sending drillers into space. You have to look at your people in the face and say you're going to die, and I'm with you. That's what a president does.
Do you guys know the tattoo story with him in that movie? Wait, no, so apparently Morgan Freeman's arms are like tatted like crazy, like that's in real life.
Yeah.
And so in the movie, they were like debating like how they were going to get makeup to put all over him. Like, how are you going to cover his arms and not have it like smear on his shirt? And at some point, director Mimi Hedder eventually was like, we're just going to have the tattoo shown. And I actually think that this is one of the coolest directorial choices in that movie,
yes.
where they have him with his sleeves rolled up and you see like all of his like faded tattoos, like the only makeup they put was just a little bit of fade to make it look like it was something he did in his youth. And it tells so much about like this presidential character, even though he's a minor character in the film. And I'm like, yeah, good use of directing there, Mimi Hedder. Good job.
There's a lot of crazy movies about the presidency in the White House around the 90s. Wag the Dog, Bullworth, Head of State, Man of the Year, all these movies about becoming presidents around this time. And then, it's because we had no wars and everything was going good and being the president was a silly idea. And then West Wing happened and it was like, this Martin Sheen is our now. Martin Sheen is our fake president for the next 8 years. That's the way it works. And then it was...
Yeah.
And after that, we started getting throwbacks with Olympus and White House Down, which I think both of those movies are more like Vantage Point or something like that for me, where they just, it really isn't about the spectacle. It's like we're just trying to get everything together to make an earnest 90s movie in 2010, and they just don't work anymore.
Yeah,
and I just think it, like, also in 1996, the year before Air Force One, you got President Thomas J. Whitmore, played by Bill Pullman in Independence Day.
Mm-hmm.
Another guy who, knows how to fight. He used to be an Air Force pilot, takes things into his own hands, becomes part of the crew that saves the Earth.
And
Roland Emmerich really likes them.
And he made White House Down, right? Didn't he?
Yeah, he did.
Yeah.
There you go. It all connects.
I feel like
he loves his president.
I like the idea of a president kicking ass. Sure, taking care of himself on a plane if people hold his family hostage. Sure, but again, give me Dave any day of the week, man. That's my idea of the best.
That's what I want for a president. That's what I want,
a genuinely nice guy. Like, I don't care if he can murder a bunch of people. Like,
anyone can.
Anyone can. I can.
What? That's about all the time we've got today. I'd like to say I'm very pleased with Poppy's, personality growth.
I hope it stays.
I think it's a real sign of things to come, I hope. And
I hope you continue to sharpen this and get better at it and stay forever.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Could you say the phrase maybe?
Maybe.
No longer.
No longer.
No, say the phrase maybe.
No, say the phrase maybe, but longer.
I'm not saying repeat this.
I'm not saying repeat this.
Okay, I want the old poppy back.
Wait, what do you mean other poppy?
I want the old poppy back. I'm sick of this. You're not adorable. You're just cute.
That hurts. I really tried my hardest, okay?
At what?
Nothing. I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, you do.
No, you don't.
I'm going to take off this.
Use it. It hurts.
Sorry. That sounds like poppy.
Ow. What was that for?
I thought there was
something. If you want to know who I actually was, you can just ask instead of being a douche.
Okay, who are you? Hi, I'm going to do it like Dave. Hi, I'm Alex the Projectionist. Who are you?
When I'm still.
I knew it!
Sorry,
we proved the conspiracy theory!
I mean, we knew. Now it's a fact. Yeah, we all knew.
It was true. Yeah, we actually...
Even why?
You're nice.
We was all too nice or something, or...
You were just nice.
That's it, or...
Yeah, the guy... Poppy's not nice.
Wait, why are you British? Did you grow up from... Did you live here?
No, I came from a movie theater from England.
Do they also have real butter?
No, I just was shipped here. I don't know. Someone ordered me, and then someone put some stuff on me, I guess. And then Poppy said, "You're Poppy."
So somebody did this.
Well, who do you think did it? Who do you think did it?
I don't know who did it. I just am happy, and I'm glad that they did.
Well, I mean, I can go if you didn't.
No, you were great.
You're great. You're now great, that, Poppy. Now that you've no, you're admitted, fantastic.
You're awesome. No, just be Poppy, dude.
No, it feels weird now that you know.
No, it'd be less weird if you used an English accent. By the way, if you're going to be Poppy, you can't use that accent. You got to be Poppy.
I know, but I don't get paid enough for this. I don't even think I'm getting
Who's paying you then to be Poppy?
He said the money would come after, and I don't know what after.
Good conspiracy theory can't be proved.
I think you're doing great. I think it's fine to have an English Poppy. Or what
happened to Poppy, by the way? So we never find him or stumble upon him or get him.
I don't know. I'm just the guy.
We're all friends here. We're all talking.
Yeah, well, you scratched my face.
Yeah, because I thought there was makeup or a mask or something.
I'm a popcorn.
Yeah.
Do I need to look like something else?
If you've known Poppy, he's a fan of disguises and costumes.
Yeah, he is. He is. So that's... I mean, I don't know what else to tell you other than, like, you can live here if you want, but...
Are you putting me in a real awkward position? I don't really know if I should choose or just
tell us why you're here.
I don't know. He just told me to be him. All right?
Who did?
Poppy. I don't know. Why is this on me? Why are you making it my fault?
Because you're great and Poppy sucks.
All right. It's not Daryl's fault, okay? He just looks exactly like Poppy and sounds exactly like him.
You will stay here.
Alex, it's all right.
Okay.
It's okay. He can show up periodically. Right, Daryl?
Yeah, it's all right.
Okay. Well, I think that's that. No harm done. All right. Bye, Daryl. What a great episode. Well, Riley, thanks
there
for...
There you go, Peter.
I didn't do anything. I'm trying to be nice. Good grief, man. Well, thanks, Riley, from out of town, calling from out of town. Real pleasant surprise to have you on this episode. Theo?
Yeah, I'm here as well. But I think a lot of food for thought today.
Lots of food. I'm really hungry, actually. We talked a lot about food.
Speaking of food.
No, we did.
Yeah, lots of bacon.
No, never. Yeah. Bacon was never mentioned once.
Yeah, Kevin Bacon, all the time.
Okay, that's...
That's fair. Yeah, that's what I thought. Now I'm hungry. I'm going to make some bacon. You want some?
Yes.
Cut!